Wolf Horgrave joins us. And I believe you're in phase two, aren't you, Will?
That's right, yeah. Morning, Greg. Library's in phase two. We started our phase two of reopening July 6th. And basically what that means is patrons now can have public computer access. They can access computers for 45 minutes at a time, one time per day. So we kind of want to keep shuffling people through and make sure they're not in our locations for too long, just because we are still in the middle of a pandemic. But phase two out of four, and we're kind of inching closer every day to going to phase three and then finally totally reopening in phase four. So it's a step in the right direction, no doubt.
Yeah, it's coming slowly, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, no doubt. And you know, unfortunately, there are some branches, when we looked at the state's recommendation for number of people per square feet, that aren't open for public computer access just because they're too small. Napoleon and Hanover are both going to remain closed to the public and for computer access. However, under phase one of our opening plan, which we are definitely still in, people can still take out materials. They can place holds online or by calling the branch and then show up in person and pick up, you know, whether it's a movie, a book, or a video game, they can actually start to pick up materials again. So we're getting there, no doubt about it.
The great debate is wearing a mask. There's no debate at the library, right?
No, there's no debate, no doubt. We've made mask a requirement, and now with the governor also making them a requirement, people are asked to wear masks when they come in and mm-hmm. use the library space, yes. Yeah.
So what are some of the locations closed and some open, Will?
Yeah, like I said, Napoleon Hanover is so close to the public. You can access materials, but you can't use the computers just because of their size. Mm-hmm. And then actually Brooklyn as well. It would be large enough to have patrons, but Brooklyn's actually going to be closing the end of this month, July 31st, so that we can renovate it. And we're actually looking to double the size of the Brooklyn branch, add a meeting room, kind of separate the youth and adult spaces, and just make it more appealing and a bigger, and just update the building itself.
Yeah, pretty exciting renovation there.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple weeks ago, we had a pre-bid meeting with some of the contractors that were interested. I believe we're going to be opening bids pretty soon here in the future, and then we're going to get the project started. Another thing really quick, Greg, that I forgot to mention, we are back to our normal business hours with two exceptions. So if we were going to be open on Sundays, so I believe that's the Eastern branch, the Carnegie branch, and the Meyer branch, the three big branches, you know, near the city or in the city, mm-hmm. We are going to be closed on Sunday in phase two. And if a branch were to be open after 6 p.m., say they close typically at 7 or 8, they're going to close at 6. So we're closing at 6 p.m. and we're closed on Sundays, but besides that, all the hours are back to normal.
Yeah, go to the website and all the hours, I believe, are listed on there. So how has business been during this pandemic?
Business has been good. I think we still have had a typical amount of people checking out items, whether that's through takeout or online. You know, a lot of people, if they do want to stay home and they don't want to go out and pick up the materials in person, obviously, you know, for those first 2 or 3 months when we were closed, I think a lot of people realized you can get those materials online. And continue to do so, whether it's an ebook or an audio book or what have you. You know, you can download it to your devices and listen to it without ever stepping foot in the library. And I think a lot of people are still taking advantage of that. So that is typical. We do have less people signed up for the summer reading program for whatever reason. I think typically the number one way we promote that is with people coming into the branches. So that was hard for the first month or so, but just to mm-hmm. let people know now, that's still up and running, and they can sign up at myjdl.com/SRP20, which stands for Summer Reading Program 2020, and we have a lot of fun prizes, and it's a typical program. You know, you read for 4 hours, you sign up to win prizes, and hopefully you win some. It just keeps people active and engaged, and especially young people active and engaged in reading and learning during the summer months.
So have kids been hurt by this, Will?
No, I don't think kids have been hurt by this necessarily. You know, the timing of it, I think they maybe cut school short, is my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But the library is still available for all your learning needs, whether that's online or with the summer reading program. And especially now, you know, people are allowed to come into the branches for an hour at a time, even if they don't need computer access. So they can talk to a librarian. Maybe get some reading recommendations or some homework help, and do that in person again under the Phase 2 plan, which is especially helpful. But we do have our stacks closed to the public until Phase 3, so the idea being we don't want people to touch books and browse. We just want people to kind of hunt, you know, instead of browse, say, I want this book, and then the librarian will go pick it up for them. But, you know, when Phase 3 opens back up, it'll be relatively back to normal with browsing available, is my understanding. But we don't have a date set for that yet. You know, we're kind of going with the governor's recommendations.
Yeah, it's every day's a new day, right?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And I think, you know, we've been doing this for a while now under the quarantine and now governor's recommendations with new ones coming in. You know, steadily executive orders coming in, and we've been really diligent about following those and making sure we're on top of everything and doing everything legally and safely.
And a lot of, I assume a lot of cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Those are big yeah. buildings, some of them.
Yes, lots and lots of cleaning. So with the Phase 1 plan, we, you know, just had people come and pick up the material, but now with Phase 2, people come in and we have our staff wiping down computers. We also are quarantining items that return for 3 days, so for 72 hours. And that's good. I hope your listeners understand that, too, if they use the library. They may return an item and it may show that they haven't, and that's simply because we take the item and we literally just put it in a room for 3 days and then wipe it down and then put it back into circulation. They won't be charged a late fee. Because of that, we retroactively put everything back 3 days. So they shouldn't worry about that. But there is a small lag just so we're being safe with it. And we've brought a lot of our staff back as well. So, you know, under quarantine, we had people staying at home. And now I think the majority of our library staff are back in action so that really we can clean items and help patrons now that they can be in the library in person.
So put your City Hall beanie on. What's going on down there?
We have a meeting tomorrow. It's going to be virtual.
Are you tired of those?
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, it's kind of funny. In working in my job, it's been pretty hard with virtual meetings, with people talking over each other and people not understanding how it works. But I think it's gone pretty smooth with City Council, only because Robert's Rules of Order, you couldn't talk over somebody if you wanted to. So it's kind of funny. In local government and politics, it seems to be working better than, you know, in my five-person meeting I have on a regular basis with admin staff. But, you know, it would be nice to get back in City Hall and get back with the public and hear directly from them. You know, having our city clerk, Andrea Murray, read public comments that have been submitted, you know, that hasn't gone as smoothly as I think just somebody going up and then reading them themselves directly to us. So I think that would be helpful. But if nothing else changes, I think with the governor's recommendations, I'm pretty sure that the next meeting in August will be in person. It'll be the first one in person. But again, if something changes, who knows?
Yeah.
But things are going pretty well.
Yeah, I think Derek said right after the 4th, but things have kind of changed, haven't they?
Yeah, it's my understanding, you know, I'm talking to the city attorney and trying to keep up with it myself, that we could do this one in person if we wanted to. That may have changed again, but we decided doing it via Zoom was best just because we don't want to turn people away, you know, with the square footage and in person maximum people amount. I think we could only have, you know, 15 to 20 people in attendance at a meeting, and if we had more than that, we'd have to turn them away, which again may be getting into some gray area where it's a public meeting, you shouldn't have to turn people away. So it would just be easier to do Zoom at this point, and then hopefully come next month allow anybody in that wanted to. So
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You need to get those watchdogs back.
Yeah, no doubt. We missed them. No doubt about it. But yeah, we're doing a lot of exciting things tomorrow. I don't know if Eric talked to you about the Corridor Improvement Authority down MLK.
Yeah.
Old Francis Street. I talked with him, and originally I think it was going to be down Francis Street and dead end of Prospect. But as far as I know, looking at the city council agenda, we were able to get that to go west on Prospect until it dead ends on 4th. So I was able to get the 6th Ward a piece of that pie. And I think that's a really good area to do that with some good commercial properties and a good mix of commercial and residential. And hopefully we can lift that area up and help them. So that's definitely the vote we'll be taking tomorrow. And then also one of the hot button issues, of course, is the city seal. We're going to be discussing that in light of the Black Lives Matter movement, Andrew Jackson, and statues being taken down. We have had some residents upset that the seal depicts Andrew Jackson. So we're going to be discussing that. I don't think there are any action items on that, but it will be discussed.
The goal on that corridor, Will, is the goal to get additional retail, or could that just be a bonus out of that?
That could just be a bonus. I mean, the goal is really just to get additional funding to that. I'm not sure if you're familiar with, for instance, the DDA. It's going to work a lot like the DDA does with the tax increment financing, which is just a fancy way of saying taxes are captured above and beyond what a property is worth once that corridor is created. So say if a property is worth $100,000, we'll freeze it at $100,000. Uh-huh. They're paying $1,000 in taxes. Let's say the year after that they pay $1,100 in taxes. That $100 extra that they pay will have to go towards the Corridor Improvement Authority. It will have to go towards that area specifically. The DDA uses that to lift up downtown, now we'll be able to use it on Francis and Prospect and other parts of the city.
So 7 o'clock tomorrow night, yep. And you can watch that online.
Yep, it's going to be 6:30 tomorrow.
6:30, excuse me.
Yep, tomorrow, and you can watch that online on the city's Facebook page. There'll also be a link to watch it on Zoom, which is what we use.
Hey, Will, thanks for stopping by today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, take care. Will Forgrave from the library and city council.